132nd Contact, Friday, July 18, 1980, 11:03 a.m. Billy, perhaps, girl, today we can manage to record the sounds of your ship here in Durston undisturbed and hold them on tape. Simius, 1. The outlook for that is unlikely in this weather. 2. The farmers will now be in the fields, in order to bring in their grasses hay. 3. Though we are quite secluded here, we still surely won't have the necessary peace and quiet also here again. Billy, I know, it was quite lousy the last few weeks, and one didn't have his peace and quiet or opportunity anywhere. If I could just record, at least once, a full half hour of the sounds of your whirring ship, such that I catch it in full action. Just the half-whirring and half-action doesn't bring the effect and the analysis possibilities, such as when you can let your ship whale in full swing. Simius, 4. Sure, I understand that. 5. But at the same time, you also have to be aware that the sounds of my ship are so loud when in full action that they can be heard for miles. 6. Therefore, today, we intend to carry out our tests here once again. Billy, as you say, but people will probably show up here again. But this means that we will again get the whirring on audio cassette only with interruptions, because if someone comes running up or approaches, then you'll simply let your mill fall silent and disappear. So the whole work is very tiresome and laborious. Simius, 7. I must also be careful with regard to the monitoring of the air, because the Air Force of your country is carrying out active flyovers here. Billy, I know, so it would probably be best if we would try it in the evening hours. Simius, 8. If we cannot carry out the desired work until 5 p.m. today, then I'll let it be done under any circumstances. Billy, and, what does that mean, then? Simius, 9. You will put away your devices and go home. 10 There, you will then take some of the group members with you and go to Hintersatelleg to set up your recording apparatuses there. 11. The group members should then position themselves in front at the crossroads at the barn and should let no stranger through when I release the sounds of my ship and they resound through the countryside. 12 Inevitably, people will then come running or approach there from far away because the sounds will be heard very far. 13. So it will then be the group member's job to keep these people away from you and me. Billy, is the noise so very loud in full action, then? Simius, 14. You'll see. 15. You will shake from the vibrations when the air bursts and rips. Billy, then I can, indeed, be prepared for a great deal. Simius, 16. Sure, but first we will now try to do our work at this place. 17. We do have a few hours of time. 18. With the filming and photographing, however, everything will be even more difficult. 19. We probably won't be able to do the film works until shortly after winter, whereas the photo works can still probably be started. Billy, I nearly thought of something like that myself, in this overpopulated, stupid country. I will actually be glad if I can finally leave here again. Simius, 20. About that, I still wanted to speak with you. Billy, then we can do that right away. Simius, 21. You are still of the same opinion, which you even said. 22. That simplifies my speech for me. Billy, then fire away at last. Simius, 23. We have discussed everything and have come to the view that this time, you evidently don't want to back down another time. 24. For this reason, Quetzal, just a few hours after our conversation on June 15th, so about a month ago, removed the small monitoring disc over the center, so therefore, now no more records will be made. 25. This also means, however, that the meditative center is no longer under the neutralizing influence of this disc, which will surely already be ascertained rather soon by some group members. 26. So in the future, also no objects and so on can be cleansed there anymore, and all neutralization must now be created there in every respect by the group members themselves. 27. Since you have become tired of everything and no longer want to go back because the group members have failed in their full number, which corresponds to the truth, it would be unfair if we would continue to grant them our help. 28. If there is still to be a continuance and a fulfillment of the task now in spite of everything, then this can only happen by the fact that our help is taken away from every group member down to the last. Consequently, all individuals must strive with their own efforts if they want to achieve something. 29. The envisaged Center of Peace has, within only 3.5 years, developed into a center of unpeace, because neither was the teaching followed in good measure, nor was a study pursued in the right form. 30. So a peaceful and harmonious living together never came about, and neither did an achieving of the goal in terms of the development of consciousness and the abilities connected with this. 31. For this reason, along with many other things, we did a look into the future that was necessary for us and determined thereby that the center can only change into a center of peace and knowledge, harmony and spiritual teaching if each group member changes him or herself to the better in the shortest time, or if all persons of the existing group leave the center for several years, work strictly, very strictly on themselves and change themselves totally, which means that, finally, a true study must be pursued and also the mentality must be changed. 32. But it also means that your directives must finally be followed, observed and respected. 33. But all this also means that not a single group member may continue to remain in the center, if the departure must actually occur. 34. And it also means that all relevant group members would have to depart from Switzerland and into the immediate vicinity of your new place of residence and workplace, which you would have to find in the foreseeable future, in which case you should first and foremost take America into consideration. 35. But at the same time, it would then have to be ensured that at the new place, the group members would no longer live together in the present collective form like in the center, because at present, they evidently are not capable of this yet. 36. If, on the other hand, even just one single group member would remain in the center, if a departure actually occurred, then this would mean that the old games would go on and the unpeace would continue to gnaw further into the walls. 37. For these reasons, a total departure would have to take place without any exception, with which, as I already explained, at the new location, the individual families and individual group members would have to live at the same location, but separately in their own accommodations. 38. Only for the daily work tasks, studies and the teaching could all group members then still come together in the community, in which case, however, hard learning and a determining change in mentality would have to be accomplished. 39. And only if everything necessary would be achieved could a return to the center be considered, which until then should be inhabited by non-group members and managed under your direction, because despite everything, the center should, indeed, be preserved if the fulfillment of the task is still to remain in force. 40. Through this action, the chaff would also have to be separated from the wheat definitively, because the only group members who would accept and carry out this only solution would be those who have enough reason, sense of duty, love, and will for truth in terms of the teaching on our common mission. 41. Also, only in fulfillment of the final solution will we maintain the contacts furthermore and put the monitoring disc back over the center at the given point in time, if all the group members have finally enabled themselves to fulfill all their tasks at the center. 42. At the new location, if you really have to move away, you yourself should only deal with the teaching and the fulfillment of the mission and, thus, instruct and teach the group members, 43. The facts of ufology, as you call them, are from now on no longer your concern, not even at the possible new place. 44. Others should be responsible for that. 45. Don't let yourself get involved in any talks about these things anymore, except with those with whom you stand in relevant contracts. 46. Inform them, however, that the films for which they strive must be done by the end of the year 1982 at the latest, because you should then no longer be active in this respect. 47. The work of your mission and the fulfillment of duties will completely occupy you due to the new framework. 48. Those are the facts that I should mention to you for the time being. Billy, that is already a great deal, and I think that this is the only solution. You really strove intensively for a clarification, even though you have said, nevertheless, that you would no longer interfere in our concerns. Semyas, 49. Sure. 50. The solution is exceptionally well thought out, and we have even asked the High Council for its advice. 51. We do mix ourselves into your concerns, but as a result of the ulterior motive considered by both of us, which I may not disclose, however, as you do know. Billy, and, have the masters of the half-material world not blown their tops over the fact that you are still in contact with me? Semyas, 52. We informed the High Council about our action at that time at our own risk. 53. Under the implementation of and compliance with the solution you mentioned, the High Council would even be willing to let its collaboration be newly ensured, so therefore, also you and the group members could profit from its advice giving again. Billy, that. Semyas, 54. Sure. Billy, that is but a surprise. Man oh man. Semyas, 55. Even the High Council is capable of relenting and recognizes a good will. Billy, man alive, this is a million times more than I ever expected. But, now, the question is, what will the group members do, and will the necessary change come? Semyas, 56. The chaff will now finally be separated from the wheat. Billy, yes, you said that already. Then we'll just see. Semyas, 57. So it will be. Billy, and all should temporarily immigrate then, if it should really come to that, and how should I manage the center from a distance? Semyas, 58. For the first question, 59. It would be all group members who live in the center, and perhaps even some who do not have their permanent abode there. 60. For the managing from a distance, as you say, Quetzal has already been working out what is necessary, so you wouldn't have to take care of it. Billy, and who, then, should take over the building up and lead locally? Semyas, 61. That will be the problem of the group members. Billy, well, and by when should the possible emigration be accomplished? Semyas, 62. For you, it would be good if it shall come so far that it could still be before the end of this year, while the group members would have to leave the center later at reasonable and appropriate intervals. 63. But everyone should already strive to clarify their immigration possibilities and to arrange the necessary things. Billy, that will cause little joy. Semyas, 64. The aforementioned solution is still open as the only one if the necessary change of the group members is missing. 65. If the demand relating to this is not complied with and is not fulfilled, then everything so far was in vain, because then the emigration must actually be taken into consideration. Billy, that is quite clear, but there are still always some who think that everything isn't half as bad. Semyas, 66. Then they are mistaken just as much as they have been mistaken up to now, thinking that this would never come true in such a way as it is coming true now. Billy, I know, it is always thought and said in secret that I just dramatize everything, that everything isn't half as bad, and that I only exaggerate everything to push the group members by fear and to keep them in line. Semyas, 67. That is known to me, but now the end is near, and there's only a single hope and outlook, as you have very often explained, which we did not want to accept as true and concerning which we had to let ourselves be put right by means of a look into the future. 68. We always thought that you saw various concerns darker than they were in truth, but we were mistaken in that. 69. Just as much and even more were we mistaken in the assessment of the earth person and in his thinking and actions, which is why we carried out large-scale analytical clarifications and had to recognize that we must analyze the terrestrial humankind again in a new form and more intensively if we are to fathom the true being of the person. 70. The form situated with us was inaccurate and inadequate, which is why we could find the necessary solution for the center and the group as well as the fulfillment of the mission only by a look into the future. 71. Even our probability calculations failed, because they always and with every calculation yielded completely different results, as we also always carried out our calculations in accordance with a wide variety of facts. 72. The inconsistency in the individual group members and their confusion and lack of logic always yielded different calculation facts, which is why no logical result was to be obtained. 73. For this reason, for a clarification, there only remained for us the look into the future, which showed us two possibilities, so namely the one, that if even just one of the currently existing group members should continue to remain in the center after a certain time after your going away, then everything would be irretrievably destroyed without a hope of recovery. 74. Then, as the second possibility, which I have mentioned to you as a solution. The change of all group members. 75. The third possibility, which rests in an ulterior motive, I may not mention openly, namely the solution that is well known to you in accordance with our agreement. Billy, and, is this third solution, as you call it, for sure, if it is carried out? Semyas, 76. That it is, which is clear from the look into the future. 77. However, this solution is valid as a true solution with all the necessary success only if fundamentally, once act in accordance with the teaching and your word is truly noted and followed. Billy, there are, therefore, also two possibilities there. Semyas, 78. Sure, because each thing has its negative and positive sides. 79. The solution known to you in accordance with our agreement, however, is irrefutable. Billy, I know that. One could philosophize about it for hours and for weeks. Semyas, 80. That's right, but no time remains for us for that. 81. We should now begin our work. Billy, good, I would then like to fill a small tape with the sounds also for Lee and Wendell. Semyas, 82. As you wish. 83. But let's now get to work. 84. We will later talk once more or even several times about all that was discussed. Billy, okay. Beam ship symphony we never could have imagined in the early morning of July 18, 1980, what was to come to our ears in magnificent fullness of sound in the evening of the same day. Tired and weary, as a result of an accident that happened a few months ago and after a day's work, I drove my car on course for home. Since we, my wife Maria Barbara and I, still had to handle some unpostponable commissions along the way, we trundled into our nest in Hinterschmidt at about 6:30 p.m. We had barely emerged from the car, however, when Billy stopped us in his own friendly way. Are you ready? He turned to me with mischievously twinkling eyes. He was still lacking a strong man, he said, turning around to immediately disappear into his office, where he still had to make the last preparations. Since we of Interschmidt were long accustomed to be constantly on the ball, It only took a split second before we realized that our Billy had to tackle something important in connection with his mission that was very heavily burdening on him, with which a few more people could very well be of use to him. We were still busy unpacking the trunk, when shortly thereafter, Billy once again directed his steps to us. "In 10 minutes, it will be so far, we will make ship sound recordings." Now we knew what we had to do. Billy needed an additional street guard who was ready to not let even a mouse through to the recording location. The task of us all was to hermetically seal off all access and transit routes. Now after Billy loaded his special little tractor and trailer with technical equipment and had got going, in order to strive toward the recording destination at about 6:50 p.m., I, who was still busy with our orders in the car, shouted for the umpteenth time for a good coffee. But my Barbara seemed to be swallowed by the earth, and my call faded away apparently unheard in the widths of our high valley. So I, slightly vexed, still unloaded our trunk completely. I wasn't the only one who was somewhat moody at the time of Billy's departure. Even Jacobus had become antsy, after he kept a lookout in vain for the street guard, whom he should have transported at the specified time. Our people were still rushing around everywhere, and each one still had to quickly do this, that, and another. Heavily laden with bags, sacks and boxes, I finally reached our kitchen. No trace of my Barbara. I probably had to say goodbye to a coffee before the departure. But at the very last moment, my lovely, as if by magic, was standing in the kitchen and was busy with cup, coffee powder, hot water, cream and was acting as if we had time to waste. So she had heard me after all, when I yelled for the coffee, this stone fruit. As quickly as I could, I poured the hot, quick broth in myself, took my Barbara in arm, and pulling her out of the kitchen, we, under the reproachful eyes of a half-despairing Jacobus, stumbled to the waiting Rover. Seconds later, there still came Calliope rushing up, getting in, slamming the Rover's door shut, and off we went, towards Saddle Leg. A little late, we reached Billy, who was already waiting on us, who had set up and aligned highly sensitive equipment in the meantime, about 250 meters away from the actual recording location. After Billy had given us the last behavioral instructions, he lightly climbed into his vehicle again, in order to go to the actual recording and contact site. In the meantime, we positioned ourselves at all strategically important points and awaited the things that had to come there. We were able to observe as Billy, arriving at the actual recording site, got out of his vehicle. Hurriedly, he began to fiddle about on the trailer. And shortly thereafter, he flew back the tarp, which he locked in the rod system of the trailer in such a way that a small canopy formed as a protection against the rain that had just quietly started. Only a few minutes passed, when all of a sudden, a hurricane of air-shredding sound chased through the hills and valleys in a true pandemonium. A flood of sound waves crashed, mercilessly drumming on our ears, into our auditory canals. Literally intoxicated by the fullness of sound of never before heard and never experienced intensity, with which the inner workings of some sound recording devices literally melted away and were placed out of service, we all stood mesmerized on our guard. We all paid close attention to this unique soundscape, which moved along and could be heard, with certainty, for several kilometers. And that this was so, not only did the elderly married couple prove to us, who came rushing from a village about 3 kilometers away and who could not be and refused to be stopped, until somewhat harder words produced the desired effect, but also the various drivers who listened to these sound cascades that were peculiar to them while driving at a snail's pace and with the windows wound down. Also some members of a farming family well known to us could not resist themselves from jumping on a tractor and slurry tanker at about 800 meters away, in order to see what was actually going on there in the background. Contrary to Semyasa's habit of making her ship silent at the appearance of foreign persons by means of an energy shield, This time she let the partly loudly shrieking fullness of sound run free. Too often it had to be done again and again with interruptions. Now even Semyasa's patience was at an end, and so not only did we come but also all those who were curious and courageous enough to open themselves up to the sounds of a very high technology, to a not everyday and deeply impressive experience, which lasted no less than around 30 minutes. For the unenlightened, I finally would like to briefly explain the suddenness proceeding from the space and beam ships and the sound vibrations that freely unfold specifically for sound recordings. In the normal air traffic on our planet, the ships, as should already be generally known, are not only shielded from view and an energy field, but also no sound whatsoever penetrates to the outside. These energy protection shields can be opened by the male pilots and female pilots of these ships selectively. The sound has instantaneously free exit. Highly contented about this experience of a Pleiadian beam ship in operation and deeply thankful in ourselves to Billy and Semyas, we headed home at about 8 p.m. in the then increasing rain.